Chase Mullane.
Yes.
Big doings out there in media land this week. This is the story that broke it all from 13wham.com.
Honestly.
I love that you couldn't say that with a straight face.
Wham! 13 Wham! Wham! George Michael used to work
All I can picture is George Michael and one ear pierced.
Yes. So, I'm still typing things here. So... Rochester County, New York, the chief meteorologist at WHEC-TV was relieved of his position after video of a newscast showed him apparently using a racial slur. City of Rochester Mayor Lovely Warren called for his resignation less than 48 hours later. Now, warning, I'm going to say the word once. I'm only going to say the word once. I'm going to say the word once because we don't shy away from it on this program so that you understand what it is that we are talking about. If you decide down the road to take this out of context or be a jerk about it, please be sure to include this entire stretch of audio where I explain, which you won't do, where I explain that we're going to use it once. We're going to use it for a reason. During the Friday evening broadcast of News 10 NBC at 5:30, Chief Meteorologist Jeremy Kappel showed a photograph of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Square Park in downtown Rochester. While describing the photo, Kappel utters what appears to be the phrase,
"Oh no,
Dr. Luther Coon King Jr. Park." The term is a commonly used racial slur to refer to African American people. What he said was offensive to people of color and really everyone because Dr. King was a hero. This is a quote. And to say that word in association with his name is deplorable and unacceptable, said Richard McCullough, president of the Rochester Association of Black Journalists. Reached at his home, Kappel declined to comment. He posted to Twitter, quote, "For the record, I've never uttered those words in my life," end quote. You can take that with a grain of salt, I believe. Because everybody at one time or another, when you're young, when you're dumb, you don't go out and use that defense.
I'm Googling it right now. And he has multiple YouTube videos and stuff with his wife where he's apologizing and all of this. But, I mean, I grew up in an Irish family, a very Irish family. I've talked about some of the interactions I've had with my grandfather on this program in one of the most Irish / racist areas of Boston. And that word has never come out of my mouth. Either towards someone or in describing someone.
That word used to get tossed around a lot in the 1970s.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. But that's what I'm saying is like, I've never heard my father say it. I've never heard any of my uncles or aunts say it. My grandfather said it a lot.
Yeah.
Along with the other one that I will not say because my skin is the color of a piece of printer paper.
Right. Here's the thing.
That doesn't just randomly fly out of your mouth, especially when you're talking about one of the biggest civil rights leaders in our nation's history.
Here's the thing. I've listened to the clip. I'm not going to play the clip because we don't need to.
Yeah, we don't. Don't say that word.
You, as an audience member, want to hear it, the clip is up on YouTube. It's easy to find. Here's the thing.
Oh, what a dummy.
Listening to the clip, there is no doubt in my mind that he said...
That word. Yes.
And those
That's even worse than the other one.
Those who know their history know that that is an old Southern joke. Oh, it's Martin Luther... It's not Martin Luther King. It's Martin Luther...
fill in that blank.
The slur word. That kind of rhymes with King. And
no, it's a slant rhyme, but I get where you're... Sorry, yeah. Continue.
And it's... here's the thing. This guy, this weatherman, Jeremy Kappel, has spent a lot of time in the South. He's a Southern boy, all right? Don't tell me for a second that he's never said that word. That he
before.
Never heard that one growing up, and didn't hear the old boys sitting around laughing about, well, there goes Martin Luther, you know.
And that's my point, is that, like, you don't just randomly drop that on television.
So, Mayor Lovely Warren up there in Rochester has a point. She has a point. So he got fired for this, all right? He got fired for this because we live in the age of zero tolerance. But now here's the thing. I don't believe for a second it was his intent to say that. He says the one thing and then he goes immediately to King. And it's sort of like, I never learned it this way, but apparently eeny, meeny, miny, moe is not catch a tiger. I was taught catch a tiger by the toe.
I wasn't.
But originally it was something else.
Yep.
Okay. I never heard the other version of that until I was an adult. And I was like, oh, that's not cool.
But see, here's the reason that, here's where he made a mistake. So I just delineated my background. I learned that a different way from my grandpa Pop. May he rest in peace.
Which is a generation that would have
down
used
in hell.
That version of it.
But had he responded by saying, I'm very sorry, this is a result of my upbringing. It was just something that was ingrained in my brain. Something to that effect.
This is what happened to Jeremy Clarkson.
That would have been better.
This is what happened to Jeremy
than
Clarkson.
Saying, like, I've never heard that before. Oh, my God, I have no idea where that came from. Like, it's better to just own. My father taught me the term fall on your sword, which is when you do something wrong and you just say, you know what? You're right. Like, I was totally wrong in this situation. I'm going to admit it. I'm going to own it. And I'm very sorry.
Yeah.
That is way better than trying to pretend that, like, trying to, like, moonwalk backwards.
There was footage that came out a couple of years ago, around the time that Jeremy Clarkson was getting fired for punching an Irishman in the face, which I don't think should be a fireable offense, personally. I say this as an Irish person.
I mean, I would say, as an Irish person, there are many reasons that can lead you to punch an Irish
person
in the face.
But there were some outtakes that came to light because he had learned the other version of eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and he was struggling to say tiger. And he kept saying the other word that isn't tiger.
Mm-hmm.
And it went up on YouTube and everybody's like, oh my God, he's a racist. And it's like, no, he's not. Is he?
It's just in his brain.
It's in his brain. And I think that's the same thing that happened here. And I agree with you. Capel does himself a disservice by getting out there and being like, I have a good heart. I love Dr. King.
I have no idea where this came from.
I never would have said that. You know what you should say? You know what you should say.
I'm sorry, I'm a product of my upbringing.
Get out in front of it. Go own it.
Exactly.
Come out and say, you know what? I was taught that as a kid, and I have spent my entire adult life trying to forget that.
Yeah.
And the other night, I slipped up, and I'm sorry, and I'm never going to do it again. And you know what?
Precisely.
People would be like, all right.
People would be like, you know what? I used to think so many things as a result of being raised Irish Catholic. Like, so many things. When I get to college and my roommate had a guy over just to hang out, like, just to talk, and it was a black guy sitting on my bed, I walked in and was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Just because it was the way I was raised. And then within 2 minutes, I was just like, oh, like, he's just a person too.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's not my fault. That is just a product of how I was raised. It would be my fault if I didn't evolve from there.
Yeah.
But if I happen to, which I never have, knock on wood, if I happen to slip back into the things that my grandfather taught me, then yeah, that would be a little bit my fault that I haven't suppressed it enough.
Yeah.
But if I did do that, I would own it. I would say, this is the way I was raised. I didn't know any better.
I grew up.
Like, it's straight naivety.
I grew up with black friends and never thought a thing of it. And no one in my family ever made a thing of that. Of it. It was just like, oh yeah.
I dated a guy who was half black when I was in high school. And my father was like, come on. I was like, what? He's like, you can't. Like, you can't bring him to Pop's house. I was going to bring him to a family party. He's like, you can't bring him to Pop's house. Like, this isn't, you're not going to, like, bring this guy to prom.
So, get back to this whole mess. So, Jeremy Kappel was fired. And as soon as that story hits the internet, well, you know what the reaction is going to be. There are change.org petitions saying, unfire Jeremy Kappel. There are people screaming political correctness and all the rest of this. Jeremy Kappel said what he said. Now, the latest development in this is he went on the Today Show this morning, and Al Roker has now vouched for him. Al Roker, black weatherman, says Jeremy Kappel's a great guy, not a racist. I don't believe Jeremy Kappel is a racist. I don't think he's a racist. I think, like a lot of us, not through any fault of his own, he grew up in circumstances where racism was around him. We all grow up in those circumstances where racism is around us. And a lot of us try and get out of our hometowns or get away from certain groups of people because we know that they are racist.
Yep.
And as we become adults, we separate ourselves from them and say, I don't want to be a part of that. I'm sure you're a great guy otherwise, but the racism thing really isn't working for me. So I can't...
Very, very, very true.
Not coming to your barbecue and listening to you malign people because their skin color is different for an entire afternoon. I'd rather stay home and watch the grass grow. So I don't think this guy is a racist. I
don't either.
I think I think the mayor, and understanding that this is a largely black community... I think the mayor's grandstanding a little bit in saying you have to be fired, you know, because that's the immediate, oh, you said a word, you have to be fired. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. If you fire the guy and he goes away, then are we just going to sweep it under the rug and pretend it never happened? Or are we going to, like, keep the guy around, let him issue a genuine, real apology? And Jeremy Kappel... And anybody who finds yourself in this situation, don't weasel out of it. Well, don't sit there and say, I would never do that in a million years.
It's like, you did it, dude.
Especially.
Like,
if there's,
like, own it. If own there's, the fact that that happened.
If there's one thing that I've learned over the years, I'm not going to say this applies universally because that is stereotypical and racist, but I have a lot of black friends. I've known a lot of black people.
Name them.
You know some of the same ones that I do.
Plus, dude, I'm messing with you.
Plus the folks I grew up with. If you own your mistakes, they will forgive. If you slip up,
absolutely.
And you say, wait, oh my God, I can't believe I just did that. And you own it and you're like, that makes you unhappy, doesn't it? And you have that moment where you acknowledge that you've done something bad. They will forgive. They will forgive you.
I would say that's what I imagine most of you, or some of you at least, remember Sean Bedgood. He now lives in LA.
Yeah.
But he when
Love
he moved,
Sean Bedgood.
Sean Bedgood is one of my favorite people in the world. But he's from Dorchester. But when he moved to LA, we lived together for like 4 months. I subletted a room in my apartment to him. And he is the best example of being able to just say, am I being offensive right now? Like, he and I would have hours long conversations about, like, I'd be like, how, like, I want to be able to engage in racial conversation. Like, I want to be able to, like, I could talk to him openly about it. And because Sean Bedgood is, he's light skinned black. That's the best. That's how he describes himself.
Yeah.
But he's a black man. And like, I constantly be like, am I being offensive right now? Is this offensive? Like, am I making you uncomfortable? Is this allowed to say? And he'd get annoyed by it, don't get me wrong.
Well, he should, because nobody wants to be that guy either. You know, you're asking him to be a spokesman for all black people.
But he was my roommate, though, so we spent a lot of time together. But it was the point where it was one of those things where it was like, I would be very open with him. And I didn't have to ask anymore because I'd say something and say, like, look at his face and say, okay, I know that was over the line. Or that was something that isn't acceptable or what have you. And he introduced me to soul food, which is so good.
Nice.
But that's the thing, is that I take issue with both the mayor for doing exactly what I was talking about earlier, which is like just looking for something to be offended by because it's trendy right now. And with this dude, for not just owning it, it's like, I am an Irish Catholic girl from Boston. It is, I'll say something completely unoffensive and people will find a way to be offended by it.
You're Becky with the shillelagh hair.
I am Becky with the shillelagh hair. And every time someone just feigns this, oh my God, I can't believe you just said that. I just say, I'm just trying to be a person. Like, why can't we all just be people?
See, whenever anybody
and I get that that's easy for me to say, but in this climate, it's actually not easy for me to say.
Whenever anybody says that to me, I repeat the phrase. I'm like, oh, you can't believe I just said, and then say it again, and then they understand that that tactic is not going to work with me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing is that it's like, why can't we just have an actual conversation? That's why my best friend in LA, artist named Brenna Youngblood, she is awesome. Look her up. Brenna Youngblood. She's amazing. But she was a black, very dark black lesbian, shaved head. You could mistake her for a dude if her tits weren't, boobs weren't so nice. But she, I could just speak to her openly.
Yeah.
About race, about everything.
Yeah.
And when I spoke to her, I didn't feel like I was talking to a black person or a lesbian or someone from California or fill in the blank. It was just, we were two human beings speaking to each other.
Well, that's what you want to be. You want to be people talking to people.
And that's the goal. Like, I feel like that's the goal. That's where we should be at, which is, it makes it so much harder when everyone's just getting offended by everything.
Well, the problem on one side is a lot of people are getting a lot of power and making a lot of money off identity politics right now. Okay, that's
just
part of it. But the other part of the problem is you get guys like Jeremy Kappel that get caught with their pants down, and then they're like, I'm a perfect angel. I'd never do that in a million years. That's not, he started out with the, that's not what I said. I've never said, as soon as you say, I've never said that in my life, or as soon as you tweet, I've never said that in my life, I am going to
call you a liar. Yeah, everyone's going to go through everything you've ever done.
I am going to call you a liar, okay? You name a word, I have probably said it at some point in my life.
Even if you just were singing the lyrics to Rocky Raccoon.
Yeah. I may have used it in an academic sense. I do not believe in using racial language in everyday life. And I certainly do not believe in using racial language in anger toward another person. I can very comfortably say I have never done that. Okay?
Me too, that's a nice feeling.
I have never used a racial slur or an ethnic slur to describe another human being, either jokingly or in anger.
I only have towards my culture.
Yeah.
Like, I've been like, yeah, I'm a silly Mick. Like, yeah. I've said things like that. But I've never, yeah, I agree.
It's just not something that's programmed into me.
It doesn't occur to you, yeah.
But I'm not going to sit here and say, I've never used that word in my life. Of course you have. Own it. I don't know why the default response among white people when you get caught is to lie.
Yeah. Well, that's why, honestly, and I know we're all really mad at Louis C.K. right now, blah, 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 whatever. But when the whole thing with him doing that thing he does with his
Pants down.
When he made a statement about it, that I actually respected him because he at least, don't get me wrong, I don't think it's okay. And I don't think the various things he's done since are awesome. But he fully admitted that he did that. He took full responsibility. Like, he took full culpability.
He didn't sit there and say, I never did that.
Exactly. Ooh. He said, I did do these things. I abused my power. And as much as that doesn't make what he did okay, it gave me a level of respect for him just in that he owned up to doing it, which is better than just, as you said, just being like, I never did that. What are you talking about?
Yeah. So this guy's good. So Jeremy Kappel is going to lie and then go get Al Roker's blessing and get a job somewhere. And
yuck,
you know,
yuck. It all makes me.
One way or another, he's learned not to ever say that on the air again. But nothing positive came from any of this.
But he didn't know not to say that on the air to begin.
There's no net gain here.
I hate everybody. Yeah. You're cool. So we're at World. Yes. So Iran.
Iran's done a few interesting things.
Yeah, it's really fun. Not at all terrifying. They have detained a U.S. Navy veteran. Yeah, they confirmed they're holding Michael R. White at a prison in the country, making him the first American known to be detained under Trump's administration. His detention ratchets up the rising tension between Iran and the U.S., which under Trump has pursued a maximalist campaign against Tehran that includes pulling out of its nuclear deal. While the circumstances of White's detention remain unclear, Iran in the past has used its detention of Westerners and dual nationals as leverage in negotiations, which is expected to continue.
This is usually why these things happen. Usually if somebody's grabbing an American, it's because, and actually we're doing it because we grabbed the daughter.
Everybody like grabbing an American.
We grabbed the daughter of the chairman of Huawei Corporation as part of our ongoing negotiations with China. That's when a government does it, that's what it is. It is a negotiating tactic. We have something that they want and they're going to extract it from us by making a high-profile acquisition of one of our citizens. So there's and it's important to understand, there is a huge difference between that and when Al-Qaeda or ISIS or the Taliban grabs one of our people.
Oh, absolutely. This is like the mafia.
Yeah.
It's very civilized in the terrible thing that they're doing. it's well, what I find so funny about this is just that... given what's going on in our government, as we discussed at length a few minutes ago, it's funny that they're like, yeah, we're gonna pull this guy in so you do the things we want.
Yeah.
And you're probably going to be compelled to do the things we want because, I mean, look at what's happening in your country right now.
I don't know what... Now, this happened right around the same time that the Dutch accused Iran of being involved in several terrorist plots and the murders of two ex-Iranian citizens who were behind the attacks on the Revolutionary Guard. So I don't know if this is Iran simply trying to distract from something in the news cycle that they would rather not have people talking about, particularly the United States of America, or if this is a bargaining chip. Generally speaking, it's a bargaining chip.
Yeah.
You know, and...
like, I don't think they're actually going to... if it was North Korea, maybe they'd do something to him. But
North Korea,
I don't think they're going to do anything to him. I think this is a... as you said, it's a bargaining chip. He's probably staying in a very comfortable situation.
No, well, they got him in a cell, and, you know, it's not the Hilton.
I'm not saying it's not the Hilton, but it's not the Hanoi Hilton.
Yeah, they're probably taking better care of him than most prisoners get.
Precisely.
So he's sitting in a safe house somewhere. And
yeah, like, he's getting actual meals, not prison slop.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. Okay.
So intriguing.
Japan
is my favorite country other than the United States and Italy and France. And nope, that's a lie. I've never been to Japan.
Might not be. A Japanese tabloid apologized Tuesday for issuing a ranking of women's universities based on the...
oh, I did see that.
Based on the alleged willingness of female students to engage in sex while at drinking parties. Quotes. 2019, kids. Quote, We would like to apologize for using sensational language to appeal to readers about how they can become intimate with women and for publishing a ranking with real university names that resulted in a feature that may have made our readers uncomfortable, the tabloid's editorial department said in a statement. The article in SPA! Exclamation point. Referred to a practice known as gayaranomi, drinking parties where men party pay women to attend. The article alleged that these parties were popular among female university students and spoke with an app developer who aimed to help both men and women find attendees for such parties, according to local media reports. Published in 2018 in SPA! Exclamation point magazine.
Stop saying exclamation point.
The list sparked outrage. With one woman launching a change.org petition to seek an apology and a suspension of the magazine's sales. Quote, I would like to fight so that especially on public articles such as this one, sexualizing, objectifying, and disrespecting women would stop, wrote Kazuna Yamamoto, the petition's creator. 2018, she goes on, was a year where women from all over the world fought for women's rights so that our voices were delivered. Let's raise our voices because I am sick of this society where women are objects. Her petition had garnered over 38,000 signatures by Wednesday. That's a lot for Japan, by the way. What?
I can't stop laughing.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Like, that's especially in this day and age, like where there was a time where we could say like we're ignorant to what's happening on the other side of the world. But everything moves at the speed of light now. Like, you know everything that's going on everywhere. They're not immune to the Me Too movement. They're not immune to, like, they know all of this. Like, what dum-dum decided this was a good idea?
No one is living in a bubble when it comes to this stuff. I don't care what part of if you're in Mongolia and there isn't much internet, you know, out in the hinterlands, and maybe you're not aware of this. This is Japan. Okay, Japan is obsessed with American culture. America is obsessed with Japanese culture. We pay a lot of attention to what's going on with each other.
Yeah, this isn't like if it came out in Ethiopia or something.
Yeah.
Not that it would, but you know what I mean.
If we're talking about Barstool Sports writing something like that, that's what they're there for.
Yeah.
And we expect that from them.
That's what those bunch of dum-dums are there for.
We expect that from them. You know, if we're talking about Playboy's top 10 party schools, which used to be a thing. Why I went to Boston University. You go to library, kids. Number one pickup spot in the Northeast.
Oh, you're gross.
Actually, I was far more successful picking up girls in the Miles Standish laundry room. So, for you BU students out there,
I had sex in the laundry room my freshman year.
Nice.
Fordham, get it.
I had sex with people I met in the laundry room my sophomore year.
Number seven bar school in the
United States. Yeah. So, you know, but it's one thing to have a list of party schools, which is the way Playboy did it. It's like party schools.
And it's like loosely defined.
What their readership is saying is.
It's like kind of like this is a party school. Wink, wink.
Yeah. What they're saying is, guys, you know, these they're hot to trot over there. But, you know, they're not spelling it out. What SPA! Exclamation point did is to spell it out and say, hey, these universities have girls who like to go to parties where there's drinking and the possibility of sex. And these are all women's universities, by the way, that they're doing this to. So imagine if somebody ranked the universities in Boston, the all-women's schools in and around Boston, in terms of which had the most hot-to-trot underclassmen.
Manuel.
It's not an all-women's college.
Emmanuel is totally an all.
Yeah,
not anymore.
I don't think so.
It's run by, the reason I thought of Emmanuel is because the high school I went to, it's run by the same order of nuns.
I don't know that it is anymore.
And like half of the chicks I went to high school with went there.
Most of them,
them are very repressed Catholic women.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, we're not making that list. I'm just saying that would be the equivalent of that, and it's bad, and we're not making that list because I don't feel like apologizing for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, sorry, that was an involuntary Emmanuel.
Yeah, a couple of weeks. We're jumping to entertainment, by the way.
Okay, entertainment. Da, 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 da. Oh, A Chicago area prosecutor yesterday asked that anyone who is alleging abuse by singer R. Kelly contact her office to investigate, adding that families of two alleged victims have already come forward. And this is in the wake of the Lifetime docuseries Surviving R. Kelly, which chronicled decades of the singer's alleged sexual misconduct.
I have not seen it yet.
I've seen the trailer for it.
It's apparently very good. It's apparently very devastating.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the funny thing about this is, funny's the wrong word. The interesting thing about this is it's similar to, well, I was talking about Louis C.K. before. When all of that broke, and my friends who aren't comedians were like, isn't this so shocking? And I was like, no. The most shocking part is all of us thought that the female comedy duo was Garfunkel and Oates, and it was somebody else.
Number one.
Like, we all knew about this.
Number one, those women were of age. And number two, Louis C.K., in his own reality, asked for consent.
Parallel I'm making, though, is that it was one of those things where it's like, I've known about this. Like, I was a huge Aaliyah fan growing up. May she rest in peace. Aaliyah, I love you. I hope you're resting in peace. But her first single was Age Ain't Nothing But a Number.
Right.
Like, if ever there was just like an arrow pointing at something happening, that was it. And this is well before any allegations came out about him. But she was, I think, like, she was 15 and he was 32.
No,
or something.
It wasn't.
Like,
it wasn't. When did the sex tape come out? Because I seem to remember the sex tape being out.
It was just after Aaliyah became famous.
2005, 2006?
No. Okay. So the sex tape coming out was 2005, 2006.
Yeah.
Aaliyah becoming a thing was like the late 90s, early 2000s.
Okay, so it was after
she that. She was on the Dr. Dolittle soundtrack with that song, Oh Boy, I've Been Watching You Like a Hawk in the Sky. Like, her first single, The Age Ain't Nothing But a Number, came out, I think, like 96, 97.
Okay. So this is well after that.
Yeah, so the first allegations like didn't even surface until, but when I saw, like, because I loved Aaliyah, I like looked into her, as you know, as soon as the internet became good enough to do that, and I remember just being like, that dude is like almost 20 years older than her, and there's like, allegedly they got married. That's like it's one of those like urban hip-hop myths.
No, they did get married. He somehow got a marriage license for her in Chicago, even though she was 15 at the time. And that was a scandal in Chicago, but it never made it past Chicago.
Well, that's the thing, is that like now all of this is coming out, and I'm like, yeah, you guys, like, you didn't already know this?
Yeah.
Like, this is new?
Here's what I remember. From the bootleg video days in 2005 and 2006, in addition to copies of all of the movies currently playing in movie theaters, you could get the R. Kelly sex tape, which was R. Kelly with a 13-year-old
girl. 13-year-old girl, yeah.
And it was widely known that it was R. Kelly with a 13-year-old girl.
I was going to say, then that came out. Same thing. Like, I was going to say, I was like, how was everyone not?
For that reason, I did not purchase the R. Kelly sex tape because I did not.
Yuck.
I did not want to watch child pornography.
Yeah,
okay?
Thank you, Derek.
Yeah,
I reestablished that we're friends.
That's bad. I may watch the Daniel Pearl video, but I will not watch child pornography. So
I mean, the Kim Kardashian one is hilarious. You should totally watch that if you haven't.
I haven't seen it. The only one I've seen.
Oh my God, you have to watch it. It's so funny. It's so staged. It's ridiculous.
The only one I've seen is Tonya Harding. And even
I've
that,
seen
I
that one too. That one's gross.
Barely get through that. Jeff Kalooly is not an attractive
man.
No. I don't know why he's rocking that porn stash in the 90s. But anyway.
Her underwear is so 90s. I'm sorry, continue.
I remember this thing being out and being around. People were buying the thing. You know, it's like it's sitting in somebody's basement or attic all over the place because they were making a lot of these. And I remember the trial. And they were like, oh, well, he didn't know she was underage. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, you have videotape evidence of him having sexual relations with a 13-year-old girl.
And how do you not know that a 13-year-old girl is underage?
How does he get away with this? There's your evidence. And somehow the guy skates on it. Mm-hmm. Not only does the guy skate on it, but he has a hit song a year later. And I remember talking about this years ago and being like, that guy made a sex tape with a 13-year-old. That guy is a child molester. I am not playing the child molester's music on the show. You should not buy the child molester's music.
Yeah.
Now, here we are a dozen years later, and we finally get the documentary where people are like, you know, R. Kelly, guy might be a child molester. Yes, we know he is.
It's trendy. That's the thing. And this is what I've been talking about this whole show. Is it's driving me nuts that things are trendy now. Like, it's like cool to care about stuff.
Well, if it's cool, if throwing child molesters in jail is trendy, then I'm on board. Let's do more of that.
Yeah, but why didn't we, like, why don't people who actually care do something when it actually comes up?
This is the one that always mystified me. Hang on. This is the one that always mystified me about R. Kelly. It went to trial.
And
they
got
in a courtroom.
Absolved, yeah.
And he got off for a second time.
That's the sound of my frustration coming out of my body.
Why was he protected? Why was he protected?
Because he's a good producer, probably.
Why was he protected? Why did people just look the other way?
It's a matter of the ends justifying the means. He controlled, he was beyond him just being an artist in and of himself. He was a producer for so many people. Other than Leah, I can't think of anyone off the top of my head. But it's a matter of, it's the same reason that famous people get off all the time.
So,
reason that Caitlyn Jenner is walking around even though she killed somebody.
What we were establishing, yeah, but that's different.
It's not.
It is.
It's because
that was a car accident. She didn't have a gun. She didn't.
Involuntary manslaughter.
But involuntary manslaughter, you're going to jail for 3 to 5 years at the most. She'd be out by now anyway.
Yeah, but did she go to jail for 3 to 5 years?
Accident may or not have been her fault. Here's the thing.
Was her fault.
That's an opinion. What we are establishing here is that there is a financial threshold where you are allowed to be a pedophile in the United States of America.
I like that you say it the British way.
Okay.
Pedophile.
That's what we're saying, is that if you earn enough money for other people, then you can be a pedophile, and you're not going to go to jail. No one's ever going to talk about it. You can have all the little girls you want. Just keep making that money. That's what we are establishing this as a reality of American life.
Well, and that's the thing, is that if the exact same situation occurred with just Joe Nobody from Malden.
Gone.
Yeah.
Gone.
He'd be in jail for the rest of his
life. Tekashi 69. There is video of him engaging in sexual relations with a 13-year-old. I just think the girl might have actually been 12. He had a hit single at the end of last year. Little girls love listening to Tekashi 69.
See, at last, yeah.
So apparently the threshold of money that you have to make is pretty low.
At least Roman Polanski did the right thing and just went to a country we couldn't extradite him from.
Roman Polanski's situation is a little bit more complex. I mean,
it is more complex. I know. I've looked into it. Don't.
What he did is not, but the circumstances around why
we're different.
They want to extradite him back here are. So,
but it's just the privilege of, well, like I said, it's the ends justifying the means.
I don't think that's a privilege people should enjoy. And I think if you are consuming art made by a child molester, you probably ought to stop that.
Yeah, that's fair.
You probably ought to stop that.
That's pretty fair, Derek.
Golden Globes. Did you watch the thing Sunday night?
No, I was serving a bunch of children's parents.
It was inoffensive. It was generally a reasonable broadcast. Palatable, we'll put it that way.
I heard it was kind of like meh.
Yeah, pretty much. But we have the winners. of the Golden Globes. And most of these don't really mean anything. As we get...
Well, sell it.
No, as we get into the greater scope of awards season, because this is going to culminate...
I was going to say, because the Oscars are the...
I believe on February 20th with our annual Oscar show, where I'm going to tell you what to pick so that you'll win your pool, and other people are going to give you bad advice. We got the winners here. Patricia Clarkson won Best Actress in a Supporting Role, Limited Series.
She's dope.
Ben Whishaw, Best Performance by an Actor in a Limited Series. He's the voice of Paddington. We like him. Patricia Arquette, Escape at Dannemora, won for...
I love her.
Best Performance by an Actress. If you have not seen Escape at Dannemora, please watch it. It's fantastic. Darren Criss won for The Assassination of Gianni Versace. The Assassination of Gianni Versace won Best Limited Series or Motion Picture Made for Television. Rachel Brosnahan won for Actress in a Musical or Comedy. Michael Douglas won for a TV Best Actor in a TV Series. The Kominsky Method won Best TV Series. Nobody knows why. I mean, it's good, but it's not, you
Nobody
know.
Knows why.
Richard Madden for The Bodyguard. I've never even heard of this show. Best Performance by an Actor in a Drama. Sandra Oh, Killing Eve. Best Actress. She was also hosting that night. If you haven't seen Killing Eve, please go watch it. It's on...
I was going to say, it's good.
It's on Hulu. It's not just good. It's not just good. It kind of fizzles...
Oh, God. I just, like, offended you.
It kind
that.
Of fizzles out at the end. But the first, like, four episodes are absolutely riveting. It is fantastic. It is about a British agent hunting an assassin. They're both women. And it's just mind-blowing. It's really, really good. If you like spy shows on TV, you will love it. The Americans takes Best Drama Series. Now, this is where we get into the stuff we care about. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse won Best Animated Film, and in my eyes now becomes the prohibitive favorite to win the Oscar, which would be huge because that would be the first time, I believe, or only the second time since Disney, or since they established the Best Animated Film Oscar, that Disney was not the odds-on favorite to win.
Can you hear me yawning? I'm yawning.
Roma takes best Motion Picture Foreign Language. I think it is probably a mortal lock to win that at the Oscars, but that will get controversial.
Get it.
Green Book, Best Screenplay. Shallow, Best Original Song. I think that's going to be your Oscar winner.
Yeah, definitely.
Justin Hurwitz.
Oh, God, I loved watching. I didn't think I'd ever see Lady Gaga cry, but... That was like one of the few clips that I watched of the Golden Globes was her going on stage, Bradley Cooper helping her with her dress and her, like, the
Which was
the
fabulous,
song.
By the way.
I would say, oh my God, her dress was dope. But like the songwriters just like looked at her and were like, we're going to speak now because Lady needs a moment.
Yes.
She was so touched. It was so cute.
Justin Hurwitz, Best Original Score for First Man. Mahershala Ali, Green Book, Best Supporting Actor. Possible Oscar favorite right there. Regina King, Best Supporting Actress. Christian Bale for Vice, Best Performance Musical. Vice goes in as a musical or comedy, which nobody... It's supposed to be a comedy, so that's why. So Christian Bale wins for Vice. Alfonso Cuarón wins Best Director. Not going to happen at the Oscars. Olivia Colman, Best Performance by an Actress in a Comedy for The Favorite, is now an Oscar favorite. Rami Malek, Bohemian Rhapsody, Best Actor in a Drama.
Hmm.
And his stock has gone up in the Oscar.
I was going to say, yeah, that's an Oscar boost if I've ever seen one.
In the Oscar race. Glenn Close for The Wife, which I don't even think is playing anywhere right now. Best Actress in a Motion Picture Drama. Green Book, Best Picture. Musical or Comedy. Bohemian Rhapsody, Best Picture Drama. Now, we've still got 6 weeks to go before we have to sit down and make our final picks. The Rami Malek thing is interesting to me, and the Olivia Colman thing is interesting to me because the Golden Globes don't tell you a lot about who's going to win the Oscars. But if you are one of the people who analyzes all of this and has a formula based on all of these awards shows, the fact that they have won gives them an early leg up. The additional problem that you're going to have is they are both very likely to win BAFTAs. They probably will win the BAFTAs. Olivia Colman is a British actress. She's going to get it. She's going to get it over Glenn Close. Rami Malek in a film about one of the quintessential British bands as Freddie Mercury is probably going to get it.
Yeah.
Film produced by Brian May. They're going to heap awards on them. And I think it is going to throw off the calculus as we get into figuring out who the actual Oscar winners will be. So I'll be curious to see how all this plays out. I do think Into the Spider-Verse now goes in as a huge, huge favorite to take Best Animated Film. And to me, there's no question that Shallow is going to win the Oscar. I'll call that right now. Shallow from A Star is Born is going to win the Oscar for Best Original Song because it ticks off all the boxes that they want. And we'll see how A Star is Born fares. I think it's going to do better at the Oscars than it did at the Golden Globes because it's an American story about the entertainment industry. Tends to play well with the Academy voters, but we'll see where it goes. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. This is The Big Picture. I'm Derek Gary.
I'm Shay Spillane.
She is Shay Spillane. On the Tell, Mikey D, coming your way in just 15 minutes. But before we get to that, we've got our favorite things from the past week and the strangest things from the past week. And this here on WMFO Medford.
For the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, I'm Dr. Tom Shives. People who enjoy winter sports can't wait for the first snowfall. But winter sports can also mean broken bones and other injuries. For instance, every year, skiing causes tens of thousands of injuries and about 30 deaths in the U.S. A lot of those are from head injuries, so skiers of all ages should wear helmets. Head injuries tend to occur late in the day when skiers may be tired, so watch out for fatigue. Using a helmet is also a great idea for children who go ice skating or sledding. Other sledding safety tips. Only go sledding in designated areas that are free of trees, posts, and fences. Adults should supervise children, and all sledders should sit facing forward, but never head first. Use a sled with runners and a steering mechanism, which is safer than toboggans or snow discs. Prevent winter sports injuries so you can focus on the fun. For more information, visit the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons online at aaos.org.
If you're a single man under the age of 35, you'd probably like to know what the ladies are looking for on an online dating site. A guy who had a few drinks and later got pulled over for buzz driving. See, that could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. And doesn't a guy who's back living with his parents but calls them my roommates just scream, Mr. Right?
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dream.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. We're wrapping things up here at The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, is the illustrious Derek Gurry. We tell you to call us, but hey, there's no time. But guess what there is time for? Us telling you our favorite thing from the past or coming week. And for me, you all know if you've listened for a while, my favorite comedy club in Boston, or at least one of them, is Nick's Comedy Stop. And one of my favorite comedians in Boston is headlining on Friday. Her name is Christine Hurley. She is adorable and hilarious. And you should totally drop by and see her. The show starts at 8 o'clock. You can get tickets beforehand at nickscomedystop.com. They'll transfer you to a lovely ticket buying place. But there are usually tickets available at the door. But I would recommend getting them beforehand. Like I said, Boston institution, this woman. You're going to want to make sure you get in there.
If you were born, well, this is interesting. This isn't just what's hot. This is what's flaming hot. Because
Cheetos,
it has been people who were born the year that this product disappeared from the shelves are now old enough to vote. That's how long it's been gone.
Gross.
From the American supermarket. Flaming Hot Doritos, kids.
Oh,
Flaming Hot Doritos will be back on store shelves any day now, according to the fine people at Frito-Lay, who announced late last week that they are bringing the flavor back. The only place that has it listed right now is Walmart. They've got it on their site, only available in stores. They say it's out of stock. What that really means is it hasn't come in yet. So keep an eye on the snack aisle. Particularly,
keep an eye on the snack aisle,
particularly if you need searing pain with your Doritos dry mouth, because this this will deliver in spades. But there is a cult around the Flamin' Hot Doritos flavor. The Flamin' Hot Cheeto is nothing compared to the Flamin' Hot Dorito. We'll have to see if they've messed around with it. I mean, it's been 18 years.
That's what I always feel like whenever something comes back, it's not exactly the way that it was before. Like, I know they're going to bring back the tan M&Ms, and they're going to be, like, slightly lighter.
Yeah, yeah. And it's you're always sort of like, yeah, it's not quite what I remembered. But we'll see. They are due back on store shelves any day now. So go haunt the snack aisle, and you may be among the first to enjoy a Flamin' Hot Dorito in 18 years.
WMFO Medford, 91.5. We're wrapping things up with The Big Picture with, that's a thing that happened. Telling you the craziest story from last week. For me, I don't want to laugh at this because it's not funny, but it's just so absurd. A Wisconsin babysitter is facing murder charges.
Ooh, I heard about this one.
After police say a two-month-old boy died of blunt force trauma in her care. And she then disguised the dead infant to make it look like he was sleeping before returning to his mother. Authorities charged Marissa Tasort, 28, of Wausau, Wisconsin, on Friday with first-degree intentional homicide over the death of the child, who suffered multiple blunt force injuries to the head.
The babysitter allegedly dressed the dead child in a snowsuit and fastened him into a car seat before going with her boyfriend to eat at McDonald's, leaving the child in the car. Later, when returning him to his mother, she pulled the winter hat over the child's eyes to hide the fact that he was deceased. Because it was after 9 p.m., the mother thought it was perfectly normal for the kid to be asleep. Tay Stewart, who has 5 children of her own and is currently pregnant in Marathon County Jail, has a history of abusing children. Child Services removed 4 of her children from her custody after her boyfriend reported her abuse.
This is why you background check your babysitter, kids.
That's what I'm sitting there being like, how are you leaving this woman in charge of even like, I wouldn't leave her in charge of a hamster.
How do you think you're getting away with this?
Yeah.
I saw that story and I was like, yeah, that is a thing that happens.
That's a thing that happened. Like, that is the definition of the segment. That is a thing that happened.
We're supposed to be on the lighter side with this stuff.
I had to say it.
Yeah. No, every now and again you get something so twisted that it's just like...
Yes, it must be mentioned.
Well, let me cheer it up, shall I?
Oh, please
Can we leave the people on a high note? Alabama, a reminder that there is no free lunch. The Cherokee County Emergency Management Agency took to Facebook to post the following public service announcement. Quote... The Cherokee County Sheriff's Office is asking that no one try to stop to get the chicken tenders that were spilled from the 18-wheeler accident last night on Highway 35. You're creating a traffic hazard! It's a crime to impede the flow of traffic. Those cases have been on the ground for over 24 hours and are unsafe to consume. Anyone who is caught could be facing charges... End quote. Commenters immediately dubbed the accident the chicken tender fender bender. One commenter said, quote, what mile marker is this at? Asking for a friend. End quote. Another said, anybody else feel like they lost a few IQ points over this? While another spoke great truth, saying, quote, this is the most Florida thing to come out of Alabama yet.
Oh, that one wins.
The chicken tender fender bender.
Please
do not pull over.
Please do not return to sender.
To get the chicken tenders. Yep.
Da-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yeah. So we've learned something tonight. Do not.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, college smallage, this was an education. Right
yes,
there.
It was. And we were actually like, I don't know, because these segments have been running for like 20 minutes at the end of every show. And we've got like a couple of minutes.
I know. I think, you know here. What? I'm liking, I think. I don't know what our listeners think, but I like the new format. I think this is
Well, I don't like that we didn't get through half of it tonight, but you know, we can blame Chris Earle for that.
I was gonna say that's Chris Earle's fault because his show bled 12 minutes and 12 minutes because you know I don't give
about
sports.
Yeah, try 20.
That would have taken way below.
Chris Earle has one of
that
the
amount of
finest,
time.
One of the finest programs
and it was sports,
on this radio
so,
station.
So, like, I mean, it's not baseball season. Like, who cares?
Yeah, but Chris Earle has one of the finest programs on this radio station.
Oh yes, don't get me wrong. It's lovely. It's just I loved watching you there, tiddly tapping your thumbs, just like. It's 7:07.
Yeah,
it's time to go.
I know. Because we're always running up against the clock, and you know,
we are.
We didn't get to everything tonight.
Did you?
But
do you want to say something about sports, like helmets or
no?
Something?
Congratulations to Clemson.
Yes, congratulations, Clemson. Get
it, Tigers. And then congratulations to the stuff
it's
that
the only time I'll ever care about football. Just so you know.
Congratulations to the American people for getting things back in the public domain. January 1st, we got a bunch of works. Art now, first public domain day in 20 years. You can thank the Disney Corporation and Sonny Bono for that 20-year delay. Works of art created in 1923 are now in the public domain.
Dope.
1923, Shay.
1923. That's the year I was born.
Nearly 100 years ago.
I know. I look wonderful.
You can now edit or screen Cecil B. DeMille's The Ten Commandments without fear of any copyright claims being made against you.
Oh, sick.
So that's great if you like silent movies from 1923. What we should be getting in the public domain...
It is a good silent movie as far as silent movies
go. But what we should be getting in public domain right now, if Disney was not an evil, greedy corporation, is stuff from the 1960s that some of us remember from when we were growing up as being...
You're that old.
No, but I mean, the stuff was still popular. You know, it's
I know, dark and being mean.
It's like E.E. Cummings poems are in the public domain right now. Okay, so that's right. So that's cool. But if I told you that Dr. Seuss was in the public domain, you'd be like, well, there's something we can mess around with.
Get me some Dr. Seuss, yeah.
You can thank the House of Mouse for this nonsense. Anyway.
Well, at least Roald Dahl, they're coming out with a series, an animated series of all Roald Dahl.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't know how I feel about that. I get everything wrong these days.
Yeah, that's actually what worried me about it. No, we have to end on a good note.
Everything was better in the 70s.
Sunshine is fun.
Except
I just want to say something sunny.
And minorities. And people in general. But the culture was, art was better in the 70s. Anyway, it was. That's objectively true. Objectively true. Name the last time you saw a good painting. That's all the time we've got.
Last week, shut up.
Yeah, but it wasn't painted last week. Shea Spillane.
I love you all.
And I'm Derek Gary. Stay safe, everybody.